Aye.
Any opposed or any abstentions? Great, thank you. Item number five is the designation and employee certifications, and that applies to everybody that's a member of the board. There's anybody that is compliant.
That's correct.
So what we're going to do here, and if I'm getting the point, we're going to make everybody legitimate, or at least those of you who are legitimate.
We're going to suggest they become legitimate. We don't have the authority to make that happen here.
We're going to start the process of making us those that want to be modified. So it's going to go through the board. So I did do this, and it's relatively clear to me. Does anybody have any questions about this recertification? It is for 3 years, and I believe it's July 1st.
July 1st, 2019.
And so that's tied to a Board of Supervisors hearing. We are going to be working with the Board of Supervisors or additional members. We're spotlighting those industries that we feel we need to have here that are sort of conspicuous by their absence. We still as members can suggest folks that we know that we think are going to be good members. We can suggest those. They can be forwarded on board.
Do we send those to you, Carl?
I think so. So what I've been doing is I have been, when someone expresses interest, I've been sending them a presentation provided by NOB on strong workforce boards to let them see the work that we're supposed to do, let them actually learn about what we do. The next thing I've done is had an actual tour at a one-stop so they can see a one-stop in action. So they understand exactly what we're trying to accomplish, and then I have a conversation with them. And then if they're interested, then I give them the application and suggest that they, you know, of course, apply. I do think that it helps to do that because what you don't want is people on the board who do not understand the work of the board or have never visited a one-stop center.
Can you explain then the application? For those folks that want to move on, they would provide a letter of resignation.
Yes.
Something formal.
Yes.
For those people that want to continue on to be certified, we also have to fill that.
You do also have to fill out the application so we can submit it to the board.
No, it's on page.
So I put it in the front behind the agenda.
Right. We have to resubmit.
You do, and then, so what I'll do is send you out an electronic version of it so you can just type it in and
And be aware that this has to be done by next Tuesday.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of
by the way.
Yeah.
So if you all can hop on that. And then just get online, it would be the OC.
Well, I'll go ahead and send out an email to all the board members with the link so that you can go ahead and do the form as a PDF and then just send it back as an email.
Okay.
Well, prior to this, we had to send a small resume. They don't want that anymore.
Not for the existing board members. Now, if you want to send your resume.
You have all that on file.
I do have it all on file. Okay. But if you want to make updates to it, it's fine.
No.
Okay.
I don't like that.
So what you have is on page 7, the action item recommendations are there, 1, 2, and 3. So this process will start now, get them in by Tuesday, be certified on, we'll go to the Board of Supervisors, assumedly they will, if they approve those folks will then start on July 1st,
right.
Be for a three-year term.
Yes.
Of course, you can resign at any time, but it will be for 3 years.
I want to emphasize that we need your help in finding members, because right now, even if every single board member decides to stay on, I am still short three business.
And you sent this out in an email.
I did send an email.
And I apologize.
That's okay. I can send it again.
We have a flyer now.
We do have a flyer.
If you have an update, is it still current?
Oh, it's still current. I'll resend an email out.
Do you want to send it out to us all again?
We have a recruitment flyer that we could get out to everybody. We have a recruitment flyer that we could get out to everybody also if you could send it out.
Can you send them separately, please?
Sure.
Or thank you.
Yes.
Anyway.
Now, I'm trying to remember, too, that the capacity is is we have to have a minimum of 19, and God forbid a total of 50, a maximum of 50.
I thought we were there at one time and we lessened.
We had a, we got up to, I believe, I remember it was 40? Like 40, yeah. 40 yeah. members.
Wow. Wow. Well, I don't know that we want to get up to 40, but...
That was huge.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need a motion. If
wait, before you do that, when you send out the information for employers, if you can also identify the industry
sure.
that we like in order sure. to ensure that we're matching up with the regional plan.
Absolutely, I will do that today.
I think you said manufacturing.
What is it? Healthcare.
Healthcare, IT,
manufacturing, healthcare. I'm sorry, and hospitality. But it was mostly applied manufacturing, right?
Is that
advanced manufacturing?
Especially biotech, medical devices. Because Orange County has such a high location quotient for medical tech, so we contribute to almost like 9% of the nation's medical devices manufacturing. Very significant industry in Orange County, so.
And we also have a great need for IT.
Well, there was no way that came out of John Melville's manufacturing folks.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
So that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of pharmaceuticals here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do we have a motion to approve?
Motion optics.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. Any further conversation?
Great.
If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Thank you.
All I can say, Bob, is the salary is great.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you're in education.
Yeah, it's actually the fringe benefits. Okay, so
I'm not getting paid. Shush.
We got one more.
Everybody get.
We got one more action.
Yeah.
We got one, kids, we have one more action item. It's 10:16.
So I need an incentive. I need a bonus.
Just kick it in. So on page 8, this is the partner memorandum of understanding, and we have to have MOUs with all of the American Job Center of California
right.
partners.
And so this time it's a little different. We have to do two because we have two different one-stops. We have the Garden Grove, and we have the Irvine, and so because we have two, we'll have to do two MOU agreements. And so the intent of presenting this today is because of the timeline and when in which these are due, we will not have another board meeting, so what we'd like is for your permission to help us move forward with the work and also obtaining Bob's signature once we've completed the infrastructure costs and the MOU agreements.
And we're talking about infrastructure funding agreement and other shared system costs. So if you remember, the partners share in the cost of the comprehensive centers and on the affiliate centers as they are getting co-located. So this is consistent with in our previous policies, and now it's being applied to the regions. Any questions or comments?
So is it going to be similar to the phase one MOU that we have, or is it going to be a little bit different?
I wasn't here for the phase one, but it sounds like they're doing your phases together. So it sounds like they're doing phase one and phase two at the same time this go around.
Well, the prior one was, you know, the phase two where we actually went through infrastructure costs and we identified operating costs, and those are the agreements that you have already.
Yeah, but you have to update those every year.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is just, it's one agreement, but you just have to have two centers.
No, it's two different agreements. So I have to have one for Garden Grove and one for Irvine because I technically have two one-stops now. I don't have one.
Even though you're just one workforce development area?
That's the message that we got from Critchley, that I have to have two. And I think it's because, in theory, you have two different systems going on, and I think there was some confusion about our operator. And I wanted to share that with you guys today to just kind of give you a high-level explanation of what we procure. So based off of the procurement, the intention was to procure a one-stop operator and a WIOA Title I career service provider. An operator is almost like a mall manager. They go out and find people to come into your system, so to speak, and pay into the partnership, But while they're doing that, they're also bringing in trainings and different programs and services into your one-stop center, right? And so that's the role of the operator. KRA won the role of the operator in both the Garden Grove location and the Irvine location. So they are the operator at both sites, okay? So then you have the WIOA Title I Career Services. That is meeting people where they are. That's the actual customer experience. That's when the participant comes in the door, the assessment's done with them, and the whole plan with the participant under WIOA. So look at them as being like the coach, the one-on-one coach with the participants. That's a completely different task than the operator. KRA won the WIOA Title I Career Service Provider at Irvine. MCS won the Title I Service Provider at Garden Grove. So you have two different organizations in our one-stop system providing Title I career services, but only one operator that's supposed to be managing the two malls. Does that make sense? I think that's kind of the easier way or to visualize it.
Managing the infrastructure of the building, the mall, how what's happening in
yep.
there, but then they invite a store in there to sell
yep.
whatever.
To cut the cost and to provide more services to the
more
customers
services.
That come into the mall system.
That's a good point.
So that's what we really have, and so that hence is why I think EDD might have asked us to do two different MOU agreements, because one center doesn't have the same partners the other center has.
And the MOUs themselves again follow federal,
that's correct,
county compliance requirements.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. More comments or questions on this? If not, this is an action item. Yes, on this one, I will open it up for public comments. Anybody wants to make a comment or got a comment on this one? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment and take a motion.
I'll make the
motion. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Todd. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions?
I did.
Okay, that takes us to grant updates.
Some
fairly good activity going on in grants. Always, major area of interest on the part of the board. So, Carmen,
I'm going to let Norman do a really quick overview of this. He's done a lot of work in preparing for this.
Sure. So, on the first page of the table, you'll see all of the current and recently completed grants. You'll notice at the top are the three that are still active right now, which are the Prison to Employment Initiative Planning, the Veterans Employment Related Assistance Program, as well as the Regional Plan Implementation Grant. All the ones underneath that have closed, either in March or December of just this recent year. And on the next page would be all the grants under consideration or applications that we've done just recently. So the English Language Learner Co-Enrollment Pilot Program we just submitted for $300,000. The Prison to Employment Initiative is the lead is City of Santa Ana. The Santa Ana Workforce Development Board took the lead on that, as well as the Summer Training and Employment Programs for Students at STEX program.
Norman, that Prison to Employment Initiative, that's a huge amount of money. Prison to Employment Initiative, what is that going to be?
So it would be for serving justice-involved individuals to help them get into employment. So for us here as a region, we propose about 300 or 400 individuals we would serve, either on probation, parole, or just recently released from the jails.
So the money would go for consultant?
The money would go toward career services, so we would be funding for case managers and job developers to provide them with any training or supportive services to assist them to get a job.
So I want to just cut in. I apologize. So what I want to highlight is that this is an earn as you learn program. So the majority of the funding is actually going to the individuals who've been justice involved receiving work experience. So that's the earning their wages. So I do also want to highlight that we are partnered with Santa Ana Anaheim to create this prison into employment program. But we're also partnering with organizations such as Project Kinship, Chrysalis, and Working Wardrobes to meet people as they exit the parole, the jail, and the day centers for the probation office. So it's meeting people where they are. The intention of this project is to continue services after the funding is over. So the funding for this program is designated to last until March 30th, 2022. So this is us developing a system that can sustain itself with WIOA after the funding is over.
And this is just for Orange County?
this is throughout the entire state that Orange County is receiving this amount.
Yeah, 4.4 million is just for Orange County.
It's been revised.
And it's been revised to 3.8 million.
Okay, still a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it goes for a number of components, not just the counseling component where my wife does that. Yeah, she volunteers at Alameda County Probation, and she can get paid, but she is one component of a number of components of which this money is going to be.
So the intention is to do wraparound services. So, for example, what we know for sure with individuals is that if you have to meet their basic needs. So you have to meet housing, health, you have to meet food, so to speak, and then work. So it's basically taking care of those issues first and then working on work. So a lot of the funding will go to those wraparound services at the beginning to get them secure so that they can sustain themselves and actually get a job and actually hold the job. Because you can't hold a job if you don't know where you're going to live, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. I'm really encouraged to see this. AB 109 that released a lot more prisoners increased the population. This is, to me, the first vestige of...
An anti-recidivism.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Prisons become the continuing education center.
Absolutely.
And two, there is a demand in some of the industries, like and trucking. They are trucking industry is actually pursuing these folks because they just can't find enough on their pay. $15 to $30 an hour.
Construction is also. We have a big program in L.A. Ernesto's bringing it down here to Orange County, working with the Flint Ridge Center.
So we know where
they're bringing people into construction.
South County from the Millennials.
And what is the success rate of rehabilitating these folks?
That's a great question, and I don't know that we have that. I don't think that we have that number, but the intention of this project is to develop a system that can support this population and sustain this population. I think that the reason why they're providing money is that we have challenges throughout the state in serving justice-involved individuals and creating programs that work. So I think that this is the EDD's approach to addressing that population, helping us develop systems so that we can meet them and actually provide services that work.
So do they come to us to say, please help me, or do we go look?
I think it's both ways. Yeah. This particular program, we're going to go look for them, but I think it's both. Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, in LA, we have agreements to apply our apprenticeship readiness curriculum with the Anti-Recidivism Coalition. We've been doing it for about almost 4 years. We've graduated about 3 or 4 cohorts. 70 to 80% success rate of placement into a labor management apprenticeship. Formerly incarcerated, go through the program, they get the wraparound skills, the soft skills, the multi-craft core curriculum requirement, and then on the other end they come out and they get not just employed, but they get a career through our apprenticeship program. And so we're seeing some of the applicants of folks are pretty much through the turnout junior level, some of their trades. But they're making $60,000-$70,000 a year with pension benefits and life.
And then there's a group in LA, the Flint Ridge Center, and they do a holistic approach. They approached building trades. It wasn't just, hey, I've got these clients here, get them in your trade. They do psychological training. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one guy told me, hey, this is akin to they're getting back from, you know, Vietnam or Afghanistan. They're traumatized. They have a different way of thinking. He came out of prison. He said, I got to retrain their mind to work within regular society. And so they do. It's not just getting someone out of prison and sending them to the building trades or they really have to kind of mold these folks again to re-enter into
the healing,
be successful.
There's a wraparound skill. There's just a whole bunch of support services to ensure that they're successful, not just the curriculum.
This information, for me, and I'm sure for others, is vitally important for us to know what is going on, how it's effective, and the success rate. That's thrilling.
Yeah.
That's really
And I'd like to add that our system has been serving these customers all along. We used to ask a question, are you an ex-felon? You know, when people would walk into our centers, but we took away that question a long time ago. But we see them, we've seen them everywhere. That's why our workshops in our one-stops cater, some of them are specific to help people with barriers to employment
one of the barriers, being ex-felons. And so we've been serving them all along. Some disclose, some do not. Most don't like to. Probation departments have been sending them to our centers, for years. Yeah. But this pot of money is to serve a specific amount, provide specific training, specific supportive services. We serve all the others without all of them.
Can you not tap into any of these?
No, well, they can certainly be funneled in, but I'm just telling you, just so you know, we have been serving them all along.
Yeah, I think our department has a very strong tie with parole board, with the court system. And as Rob said, we've been serving these individuals all along. As Bob mentioned earlier, there's certain industry that tends to be very successfully at hiring these individuals, truck driving for one. So I think moving forward, if we can somehow target those, we need to think beyond that. But for all intents and purposes to hire this individual, if we can have a collection of potential employers that would be willing to give these individuals a shot, I think that would be more
interesting. And a lot of money should be spent on, so I had some guys in construction, soft skills or retraining. In prison, it's somebody comes up, it's throw down or die, and they come to a construction site, and they think it's the same thing because the foreman told them, hey, you need to get moving and get over there, and it's like, okay, bro, it's on, and it's like, whoa, so you really do have to be, when you've been in that system for 5, 6, 7 years, you develop a reactive mindset, and that has to be slowly weeded out. So it's bigger than just finding a job.
I agree.
Well, it is.
Veterans, the same thing. Veterans are in the same boat. You get a lot of time. We've had people with PTSD come into our apprenticeship. They're successful. All of a sudden, they come in one day and they don't want to go to work anymore, and they drop out 2 years later. And you look at their past. I've known some of them. In Afghanistan, blown up. You don't know when this stuff manifests. It's so the prison population, the veteran population, there really is a lot of work that has to be done aside from just providing a job.
It is encouraging to see this program. Anything else on this chart that you think anything else that you as a committee think of that? I do have to comment on your comment about divulging if they're employed or not. I've had a conversation with my wife where she actually is trained to teach them or to convey to them how to respond to employers.
Right.
Part of her, one of her major responsibilities is helping these folks to learn those skills, be able to go and talk to employers. And so she tries to equip them with the mental set and the answers. And she's very straightforward. She's being totally transparent. Just let them know you were in, why you were in, and move on. So I'm really happy to see that program's there. I didn't mean to spend this much time on it, but it was...
That's important.
It's important
that we all understand how this stuff works, because we don't, unless you're involved in it, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, then the next last item, I think the board member appointment update, did you not?
You covered that. Yeah. So the last thing is the job fair.
Yeah, I missed the job fair, didn't I? So we had a number of us there.
Sorry. In addition to the item identified, the Central Orange Job Fair update, we do have a summer youth job fair this coming Saturday, and it's all three boards participating. It's our 24th annual. It's down the street, Century High School, and ages, targeting ages 15 to 25, but it's open to the public. And we have a number of industry employers that typically hire the summer youth. Amazon is one of the bigger ones, but we do have the Disney Resort, Knott's Berry Farm, the Great Wolf Lodge, and a number of parks and recreation departments.
9 to 1.
It is from 9 to 1.
And that's
what day? Century? High School down the street.
That's not true.
And it's a Saturday.
And then I can
have the Saturday. Okay. Yeah.
We have an MC3 program.
Yeah, we have a first class. How do we get on the list of getting invited? Or because we'd like to get our apprenticeship. So
the staff, the city of Santa Ana, and the
But it's been kind of hit and miss. We'd like to centralize it.
I think our apprenticeships.
Whoever I can speak to, they give them the list and or get it to us, we can get it to the apprenticeship coordinators. Yeah.
Is there a master list of job fairs?
That's a great question. We don't have a master list of job fairs on our site. We update the site to include job fairs, but I will do a better job of sending you the job fairs.
I'm talking about getting for apprenticeship coordinators. So who gets, as an employer or as a participant, to have it?
Ours gets notified.
Yours does, but not all the trades. We have 26 centers in Southern California.
Let me be clear on what you're asking for. Do you want notice when we're having them? Is that what you're asking for?
No, I'm asking this to the invitation to the providers.
To participate in
them.
Okay.
So then I could set up the apprenticeship programs, and then they could.
So be the one stop when it comes to county.
Right. Yeah. So moving forward, I'll make sure that either our office or the one stops provide you the information. I apologize. I didn't realize that you guys were not receiving that information.
Some do, some don't.
Okay.
We're located in our county, I want to make it standard for all of our trades that are just get invited so they can.
I will definitely do a better job at that.
And then the last item is the chair and director's report. I really don't have much other than the doctor.
I don't know, Joe. When I looked at that thing, I thought we were going to be here till 2 o'clock. Well,
Renee have something to say, or Renee?
I do. So I sent out an invitation through a doodle poll to see if you're available to come for a special meeting for SEDS. We have a SEDS project that is. Basically an application that needs to be submitted, which we need to update you on the work of the SEDS, but also get your vote on this application. So I sent out an invitation. I ask that you guys complete it. Let me know when you're available so we can do a special meeting to try to move the SEDS project along. I do want to update you on the one-stop procurement. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time, so what I'll tell you is that we currently have a compliance finding in which we are trying to address locally with the 2017-2018 procurement of the one-stop provider or operator. This particular observation quoted about $7.5 million of question costs because we didn't properly procure the operator. It is asking that we send out an auditor, conduct a complete audit on that provider, which is ProPath, on all their activities, confirming eligibility of all the participants, but also all the funding spent was actually reasonable, necessary, and allocable. In addition to that, all the funding reported is within those parameters as well. So the county is working on procuring a third-party auditor to conduct that audit on our behalf, and I will provide you an update with the findings or the outcome of that that audit. The other thing that we were written as an observation was our ITA process. I just recently had a conversation with EDD, which it sounds like my response is going to be accepted. So I think that that one is not necessarily an issue for us anymore. But I will give you that. I believe that they, based on my conversation with EDD, my response back was, I believe, is accepted. So I had a verbal conversation with them where they said that they agreed with what I've submit as a response. And so I'm just waiting on a written confirmation that part is closed.
Well, let's clarify. It's not Rob. It's up
in the state. No. I'm sorry. The state of California. Yes.
It's Rob.
Yes. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry, Rob. So I just wanted to give you an update on these compliance findings and that our observations and that we're working on them. I think it's important for you to be aware of the fact that they exist. I would like to spend time, or I wanted to spend time kind of going over what they found and how we got there, but unfortunately we just
so maybe at the about. Next meeting we'll have an update.
I will do that.
And is this, just to clarify, because you used ProPath.
Yes.
She's not making the statement that ProPath did anything wrong. She's making the statement that ProPath, it was under the period of time in which ProPath was the provider.
Yes.
Remember, there's an operator and there's a provider. And as a provider, what ProPath does, and what MCS does, and all those folks as providers, is to basically implement the services. They don't make the contracts. I mean, they're not responsible for going through the federal, state, county to make sure that they're all correct. So I just want to make sure that that's clarified, that it's multiple parties involved that are involved in those, and that's what is being reviewed. So next, I guess, film at 11, the next meeting will have an update on the results of the investigation.
So then, is all these changes and housekeeping that you've done, is this a result of that? Everybody was kind of in a fog out there?
It's two parts. It's as a result of that and getting ahead of things. So two parts, to get ahead of and as a result of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, Karma came in at a point where, you know, a lot of this stuff, and so she's doing it. And it was good, you know, she's armed with it and has an ability to evaluate it. But clearly working with county staff, including legal and auditor, procurement, use contracts, all of that.
Right, and to Bob's point, the finding is the county did not properly procure a vendor.
Yeah.
The county did not properly procure the vendor. So.
And I guess I'd have to say, when you get through with your reviews at the next meeting, then if you could update the board, on the results of that. I'm trying to remember that we as a board, we report to the Board of Supervisors, and we do that through Orange County Community Services, actually through that whole structure, the community resources being at the time. So we are an advisory group. We're not responsible. We shouldn't be doing looking at contracts and trying to input to them. We should not be doing that.
That's not
however, we should be relying on advice, and we rely on that information. So the hope here is that we can get all this resolved, and like I like to say, it's claim victory and move on. Do the things that we are here volunteering to do: strategic planning, convening, bringing the expertise. I mean, we've had some wonderful comments today that were right on, and so that's what we as a board are really here for. So just wanted to leave that with you and
I have a comment. This is impressive. I've been educated more clear and concise right now. I mean, I've been around here 10 years and I was still in a fog. So hats off, Carmen. And Carmen actually came and met with us and asked us what we were doing and how we can be better fit and all this. So, you know, apparently you've got the three boards working together, which is phenomenal in itself. So obviously you know how to do this, and appreciate your expertise, and look forward to keep working with you.
Thank you.
I think the comments I've received have all been that way, and I would like to extend that to Renee and her department, and Norman,
staff.
And all the staff.
Yeah,
we don't see a lot of
staff that does
behind the scenes, but as chair, I've been able to see some of that, and it's not easy. It's like I said, the work, I always like to say, you know, I used to say the work isn't the work that's hard, it's working with the people. But I revised that to say the work is hard, and you still have to work with people, and they do a good job on both of those. So we're very happy that you brought Karma on board. Thank you for all of the support that you've given us. So.
Thank you.
Bob, it looks like the ship is not leaking anymore, and we're on course.
Yeah.
We're
just working.
Well, with that, I'm going to turn.
Glad you see that.
Too late.
I want to ask you, is there any advantage for us to have a get-together with the Board of Supervisors so that they can put a face to people who are making recommendations to them?
Yeah, there have been conversations. Actually, Mike Rain brought that up again this morning, and we've had conversations.
Well, and I think some of the supervisors have suggested that once we get to the application process, that they will be calling to do face-to-face meet and greets.
Oh.
So maybe not all of them, depending on what supervisor would be appointing you, but we have two in particular that don't want to appoint anyone until they've made that face-to-face connection.
Yeah.
So. Okay. We'll make sure we offer.
And Todd and I are wondering what this envelope is for.
So when you go through
I thought there was a little treat in here, and I looked. And
No. So the intent of this...
It's the donation envelope.
The intent of the envelope is any of the materials that you want to take with you out of this binder, that you go ahead and take it out and take it with you. So this is like a carry.
You want the binder bag?
I want my binder bag.
So you're going to offer it, you're going to bring it to every meeting for them? Or,
so my intention is to bring the binder.
Download the whole thing. Maybe take everything.
Take everything out except the divider. So the intent is that every meeting we have a binder to make it easier to follow.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that.
It's more possible.
So if you could leave the dividers in there as well.
Yes.
I think she's hoping we get the dividers and the...
I want the dividers.
So every meeting we'll get this binder with everything in the hallway.
Yes.
We're trying to save taxpayers. Thank you. No problem. Good to see you.
Yep, take care.
Karma?